Thank you, Jean. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the moments that we could spend together in singing and lifting our voices together and coming to this place to worship you, to know you, to be transformed into the image of your beloved Son. We were created in your image, Almighty God. And our first father and mother sinned. And we are deeply fallen. The image has been cracked. And we face that every day. Every morning we get up and we look into the mirror of our lives and see that fallenness. And we need to be restored by you. We need your grace desperately every moment of every day, because we do not deserve anything from you. We thank you that you are a great and mighty God, and that you have not hidden yourself, but that you have revealed yourself to infants and babes. And so we pray that in these moments that we spend in your word, that the scales that are on our eyes because of our fallenness would fall away, that the chains that bind our hearts would be broken by your Spirit, so that Jesus Christ may take our hearts and turn them towards you, the one true God. Father, we pray that in these moments, all of the distractions in our lives that ring in our heads and our ears would fall away, and that we would become deaf to them, so that we would encounter your grace in such a way that it would be unmistakable in our lives, that we would stand today at the end of this service and look into one another's face and see Jesus Christ. Not for our own glory, not because of our own goodness, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the grace and mercy you have given to us in Christ. That from this place, not only would our lives be changed, but that our homes would be changed. That our homes would be changed, but not only that our homes would be changed, that our marriages would be changed, that our children would be changed, that our community would be changed, to be more conformed to the image of your beloved Son, and that we would, with Christ, be able to pray each and every day, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not our kingdom come and our will be done. And so we pray that we would surrender, and that you would have your way with us, even now. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Romans 8:1. We will be in Romans 8 for a very long time. And we read 8 verses that speak profoundly about our lives and the hiddenness that they are in Jesus Christ. What he has done in Christ, what Almighty God has done in Christ to set us free from the law of sin and death, having Jesus Christ come and take on human flesh. But we live in a culture that for decades has been preaching a different gospel to us. I have a Twitter account, and I follow some of the Olympics, some of the Olympians. And Michael Phelps, the swimmer, unbelievable. I love to watch him swim. He's an incredible talent. The way he has trained his body to do what it does is crazy. It's just unfathomable to me. And he tweeted a picture of a poster this week that said, "Good things come to them that," what? And on the poster, it crossed out the word "wait," and it said, "Work their posteriors off." Didn't say posteriors, but you can fill in the blank. And even though I just suggested that to your mind here at church, please forgive me. Good things come to them that wait. No, not wait. Work hard, and you'll get the reward. Just work at it. That's the gospel we've been told. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Hard work and determination pay off. Really? Has that been your experience in life? Well, maybe it has. Do you know what that is? That's God's grace if it works. I know plenty of athletes that are sitting in this room that have worked hard and are determined to get ahead, but because of coach's decision, never get in the game. Did their hard work and determination pay off? No. Not the way we expect it to, anyways. They've learned a valuable life lesson. But we live in a culture that preaches to us another gospel. Do your homework, and you'll get good grades. And if you get good grades, you'll get a good job. And you'll make lots of money, and you'll live a comfortable life. And nothing bad will ever happen to you. And it's all because you studied for your science test. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody ever gets cancer. Nobody ever has an affair. Nobody ever does sinful things if they just do their homework. That's a false gospel. The mentality that we have is that if you put the effort in, you get the reward. And beloved, to some degree, that's accurate. You study the Word of God, you memorize it, and the reward is you have Scripture memorized. That doesn't mean that you know God any better than you did before. There is certain reward to hard work and effort, but it's not the reward of the gospel. And even in our Christian faith, we believe this. We believe this false gospel, this lie. If I am good and I do what God tells me to do in his word, then I will be blessed. And you and I like to define that word blessed as comfortable, free of pain, my children will never rebel, I'll have a nice house and a nice wife or husband, as the case might be. And we believe that if you plug in the behavior that God, and you do the things that God tells you to do in his word, he will bless you. We even go so far sometimes as to believe that if we do and behave and participate in the correct religious observances of our church and of our faith and all those kinds of things, that God will not only bless us, but that he, and pardon me for parsing words, he'll reward us. We'll get his favor, not just the good wife and the good kids and the good house, but that God will be our friend and look favorably on us. And that's a lie straight from the pit of hell that you and I have got to go to war with right now. That's why this is called Grace Wars. We're going to be fighting the wars of grace all summer long. And here's the deal, and here's why. God's grace is free. The word grace, as you know, may you have heard this or whatever, means unmerited favor. Do you know what unmerited means? You can't work for it. You don't deserve it. You get it because of the giver. Now, I talked to the Sunday school about this, and there are apt illustrations in all of our lives where this works. And I learned one when we first moved here. I had never seen a combine or, the way we farm or those kinds of things. And I was out in a combine with one of our farmers, and we were harvesting sunflowers. And it was a really cool thing. I mean, to see mice run away and deer get up and run out of the fields, it was really cool. And how the head just can cuts them off and shakes them up and spits the junk out the back, and you're left with sunflower seeds. It was just awesome. But we got to speaking about what kind of personality and those kinds of things does it take to be a farmer? And it was very interesting. I would not make a good farmer. I wanted to be one when I was growing up, but I would not make a good one because I can't wait for things. I don't have the ability to do that. It's not good. You see, because farmers, as you well know, they put the seed in the ground, right? And they fertilize the soil, right? It's what you do. And they set the depths of how far that seed's, it's scientific. I mean, it's got to go in at, 3/8 of an inch or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. But it's got to go at the right depth. And you spray for Roundup Ready beans. And we got the whole, Monsanto and Pioneer seed. We got this whole thing worked out, right? But who makes it rain? And who makes the sun come up? Farmers here, if you farm, please raise your hand if you're the one that does that. I want to shake your hand. The rain and the sun and the wind. And I don't know how a seed dies and then comes back to life. I'm sure you don't do it. You might know the science. You see, that's the grace of God. Now, you got to put in the effort. You can't plant corn seeds at a depth of a foot and expect to get corn. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm not a farmer. I don't know those things. God's grace is something, when understood, will shift your paradigm. It'll tear apart your system in such a way that you won't recognize what you thought you knew and understood. When you and I understand unmerited favor, it is God's grace that gets us into his kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. It is God's grace that keeps us in his kingdom. And it is God's grace that will continue in our lives forever until we see him face to face. It is always A-L-L space W-A-Y-S. Unmerited. And so you and I need to beware of false grace and the false gospels in our lives. There is the gospel presented to us on many fronts, and even here in Romans 8:1, I've heard sermons, maybe you have too. I've read devotions, maybe you have too, that love the first half of Romans 8:1. And that's the false gospel of no condemnation, the gospel of love. That's right. The gospel of love is a false gospel. The false gospel of no condemnation, our love of love, says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation. Was taken care of. It's universally applied. Everybody gets in. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was so big that it covers everything.
God loves us and won't reject us or judge us. That's been taken care of. If you were here last week, you remember me getting a little loud? Probably scared a few people. They didn't come back. They're not here today, the ones I even apologized to. But it's graduation Sunday, so maybe that's where they are. Because Paul says, you know, in our Bibles, I know they exist out there too. If you can get one that doesn't have chapter and verse, buy it and read this section that way. Paul, in chapter 7, is so wrapped up and so in the depths and throes of his own sin and how it works in his life that in the end, when he says, I know that in me no good thing dwells, he is echoing Psalm 51, where David says, I know my sin and my transgression is ever before me. Beloved, never forget, even if you are a believer right now, if you've known Christ since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, and you have lived by faith every day, never forget that you're a sinner. At the depths of your heart, that never goes away in the flesh. That's why one day we need to be redeemed. Because Paul says, in me, no good thing dwells, that is in my flesh, that is not been redeemed. I haven't seen Jesus face to face. This has not been transformed. And that has not been transformed. Not yet. But the false gospel of no condemnation just wipes that away. There is another gospel out there of false gospel, a false gospel of grace that says, live and let live. That's the false gospel of tolerance. I'm okay, you're okay. As long as we can put on enough fakery in church to come and worship and do our wonderful religious things that we do, we don't have to confront one another with our sin. Just live and let live. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what God says. I just tolerate whatever you do in your life, and you tolerate whatever I do in my life, and we live and let live. Now, I'm being very extreme, but it's very real. You know it is, and I know it is, and we face it on Facebook every single day. Go ahead. I dare you. No, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I thought better of that. I won't dare you. Go ahead and say somebody's sinning, and watch how quickly you become a bigot. Or a phobic something or other. See, that's the false gospel. Live and let live. Tolerate. It's a very popular gospel. Then there's the gospel, the false gospel of false grace, the gospel of no regret, no remorse, guilt-free gospel that forgets about repentance and leaves it to the side. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to get before God and say, I am a sinner like Paul did. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? Paul admits his sin. David admitted his sin. It was ever before him. But the gospel of no regret, no remorse says don't feel guilty. Did you know that I think I said this last week, that's actually categorized as a mental disability if you feel guilty. They give you medicine for that now. You don't have to feel guilty. There's a huge church down in Texas where you don't have to feel guilty. 90,000 people go there. You want to know why? Because it's all lollipops and gummy bears. I'm sure there are saved people there. I'm sure there's a lot of unsaved people there too. That's a false gospel, beloved. Paul is in the midst of the throes of it. Wretched man that I am. Then there's the gospel of cheap grace. And this is detestable. But we do it. It's the gospel of works. You see, if you were baptized and confirmed, you're in. If you go to church and you serve, you're in. If you bring your kids to Sunday school and take them to VBS, you're in. That's not unmerited favor. That's doing something to earn God's favor. You can't do anything because it's already been done. Nothing earns you the favor of God. Nothing earns me the... Hey, if anybody in the room deserves God's favor... Hey, I moved away from my family. You all have your family right here. I stand up here every week and proclaim the word of God. I deserve God's mercy and grace. Right? Amen, Larry. Makes me sick. I wasn't going to get excited today. I was going to do a nice, peaceful sermon. It doesn't, because those are false gospels, beloved, and we cannot fall for them. That's not the gospel. Every time you wake up and you face one of those gospels in the mirror, reject it. Cling to the grace of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. Because those false gospels cannot get you in, they cannot keep you in, and they will not be with you forever. You cannot do enough good things. You cannot tolerate enough. You and I cannot not feel guilty enough to assuage our conscience to get us in. It's got to come from outside. It's got to come from God, and that is His grace every day out loud. So we beware of the false gospels, but we embrace the true gospel. Turn with me back to Romans 7, the true gospel, and we'll start in verse 18. We got to start there, but I don't want to read. Try to do this. Don't look at the numbers. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then this principle, that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the real gospel. The admission of sin. Wretched man that I am a sinner. Turn back with me to Psalm 51. I should have preached this sermon. It's all right. Psalm 51. When was the last time you got before God in the same spirit that David had here and said to Almighty God, "Be gracious, grace to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You see, you and I, we like the false gospel where we don't have to confront our sin on a daily basis, where we don't have to remember where we came from, and we just frolic in the grace of God, forgetting what brought us there. Now, you are forgiven of your sins if you know Jesus Christ. But that doesn't change the fact that you sinned. And we all desperately need it. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? We need to admit before Almighty God that we need to be saved. And understand that. That we're not going to cling to some false gospel, that we need it from outside, that it's got to come to us from somewhere else, His grace. But thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done the work and provided the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no doom, no dread, no guilt, no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. And that's where we need to get to. Let's just say, after I'm done with the sermon, I miss the step and I fall down and I break my neck and I go to be in the presence of the Lord. And I sit there and I wait for you all to show up. And none of you ever do. What does that mean? Can you imagine a pastor preaching a sermon without Christ, without the cross, without the grace of Almighty God front and center? I wasn't called to make you feel good. If when you die, you go to hell, I don't even want to think about that. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you have been trusting in a false gospel, a gospel of works, a gospel of tolerance, a gospel of love. God loves you, but that's in Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you have the opportunity to bend the knee and say, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this death?" And turn in repentance to Almighty God. David says in Psalm 51 something transforming. The whole psalm is great. Verse 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice." Why would God break your bones? Why would God crush your body to cause you pain? Why did he do it to David? So that David would know something's wrong. So that David would not believe the false gospel of what a good guy he was. So that David would repent of his adultery and his murder. And when God forgives and washes as white as snow, then the bones which were broken rejoice. We do not get to rejoicing without broken bones. That is the first volley in the grace war. And it's the volley, it's the shot that wins the war. The rest is gravy. All unmerited favor of the grace of Almighty God in our lives. Let us pray. Father, this thing called grace is magnificent, and none of us deserve it, ever. We cannot give enough money into the chicken buckets to earn your favor. We can't preach sermons. We can't teach Sunday schools. We can't do enough Christian things, or even the right things, to earn your grace. Oh, dear God, please help us never to take your grace for granted as an excuse to sin, to live and let live. May we face our sin daily and be grateful to you that in Jesus Christ there is therefore now no condemnation. May today
be the day of decision for us to know you, the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In his name we pray. Amen.